Good morning, Mother Earth. Thank you for all your abundant gifts. Good morning, Father Sun. Thank you for feeding all living things on Earth. Thank you, Plant Kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, animal kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, great spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello and welcome to Shaman's Keep. This is Caroline Wise King, your host, and I hope you're having a beautiful weekend. It's beautiful where I am, but I know there is some very severe weather going on in other parts of the country. Just hang in there. I have a wonderful guest with us today, one of my favorite people. His name is Ed McGaw, and he's more famously known as Eagle Man. He is a registered tribal member of the Oglala Sioux, born on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. He received his bachelor's degree from St. John's University and earned a law degree at the University of South Dakota. He has studied under Chief Eagle Feather and Chief Fool's Crow, both considered very powerful Sioux holy men. He is honored by the Sioux for having participated 6 times in the Sundance ceremony, and he also served our nation in the Marine Corps in Vietnam. He flew 110 combat missions, received 8 air medals, 2 crosses of gallantry, and was recommended for a Distinguished Flying Cross. He's the author of several books, I think almost 10 books. Books that he's written about Native American spirituality. One of his first, earliest books, Mother Earth Spirituality, really caught the attention of the world because he opened up some of the spiritual teachings of the Native Americans that no one really knew about or understood. And he's with us today. His newest book is Spirituality for America. And so I'm so excited to welcome you to the show. Thank you for joining us, Ed.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Well, I am too. So glad you were able to join us, because I was watching the Weather Channel last night and I saw that there was a blizzard, a huge winter blizzard sitting right on top of Rapid City where you are. What is it like there today?
Yeah, I shoveled my driveway 3 times, 2 times last night. And then the last time, I just finished it up, only room just two and a half car wide. I made one pickup, 4-wheel drive pickup. And I finally got it cleared out, but there's no way of getting out because to South Dakota, western South Dakota, you are forbidden to drive. Rapid City and Pennington County, our county, and over the I-90 in South Dakota is closed.
Oh, my goodness. I saw a picture on the weather news this morning, the Weather Channel, where it showed someone inside a house with their front door was like glass, and the snow was piled up almost 4 feet in front of the door. There was no getting out of that room, you know?
Yeah, on my back, I'm staying. My daughter and son-in-law and her kids are in Hawaii, and I'm menagering their house. That's the babysitting pets. 2 cats and 2 dogs. A mouse and a couple hamsters.
Well, you're keeping them all safe from the snow, right?
Well,
your daughter and her husband picked the perfect time to go to Hawaii. They're missing all this fun.
Yeah, I have a nephew over there. It's an architect. He got a lot of room for them, and they're having a good time. They want me to take pictures and all that, send it to them, and I'll do that after I get done with the show.
Okay. All right. Well, Ed, I'm so excited about your new book that's just come out. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, Spirituality for America. Would you share a little bit about the book with us?
Well, Mother of Spirituality, that's the first main book that came out with 100,000 printing right off HarperCollins' second printing book. It's an author's dream. You'd love to have a beginning like that. It's almost 50 times republished, and a million readers. Barnes & Noble sells it in Amazon, et cetera, Mother of Spirituality. Anyway, Spirituality for America is Mother of Spirituality, which was written 25 years ago, and there was not so much interest in planetary heating and climate increasing. And so I since a million readers have read it, MES we call it, I just felt that they deserve to have the Indians look at the increase in the climate heating and planetary heating. And what the Indians did about it, and of course, we forecast a great drought is coming in. You don't really have to forecast, just look at math. Overpopulation, which the trouble is dominant society of religion, they ignore that. They pretend like it doesn't happen, or they pretend like their magic wand bearer is going to rise up in the sky and go against all of the laws of physics, the laws of chemistry, the laws of math, which are made by... We Indians believe is made by a creator, a mystery, great mystery, great spirit. We don't believe anything can change the laws of physics, laws of chemistry, et cetera, because they've been working for billions of years. And so therefore, population increase is going to continue to make a great change in the atmosphere. You have chemistry of the ocean, you have chemistry also of the atmosphere. And the pollutants going up into the sky are caused by an increase in population. It's all very simple, exponential increase. So we Indians are trying to tell the white people that mainly the dominant society is white people, and they're not also becoming Chinese. But we're working on the white people because that's the ones that we know the best. And that's the reason why we Indians are trying to speak up and try to get them to listen to us to keep them from killing themselves. Killing the animals of the world and killing us also. And of course, China, you got to give China credit, whether people are anti-Chinese or whatever. China is the only country in the world that's taking an actual attempt at correcting their increase in China, in population. So that's mainly what Spirituality for America is stating. But it's a tough process because... The white man, as far as, well, there's a lot of white people now probably listening to the show that are alive and aware and are very aware just as much as we are. But they're in a minority, and so are we. anyhow, all I can do is write books and tell about what we Indians did.
Okay, so, I've had you on the show before, and you said there weren't really prophecies about, any doomsday prophecies in your teachings, but you do see that we have to have a need to change, obviously, the way we've been doing things, and what do you forecast for the future, other than that we stop overpopulating like we're doing?
That for the future, a great doom. Because not that I want to be some kind of prophet or something, but just by just looking at math, just looking at what I talked about, it's inevitable. And right now, in America, America should be the leader of all this. We're led by these dominant society, organized religion that refuses to admit and refuses to listen to their own scientists. The scientists, the bulk of them, unless they're being paid by some kind of corporation like Monsanto, the unpaid scientists are not the ones that's not on the take. they'll agree with me 100%. And they're not even Indian. If we do not change, we're going to face such catastrophes that'd be unbelievable.
Yes, I think we've all become aware of this with the global warming and the weather changes that are happening. I mean, you know, I'm almost as old as you. You're 77. I'm 74. In my whole life, I have never seen such a grouping of severe weather like we've had in the last few days. There's almost a hurricane in the Gulf. There's a winter blizzard in South Dakota. There's fierce winds sweeping California and fires starting up. And, you know, it's just, I've never seen so many severe weathers at such extreme differences. I mean, a snowstorm on one side and a tropical hurricane on the other side. I mean, it's just unbelievable the way the weather is acting now. And we're seeing it. I mean, October, the first week of October, when was the last time you had a really heavy snowstorm in the first week of October in South Dakota?
Never. I'm a pheasant hunter. I wrote a book on pheasant hunting because we're loaded with pheasants in South Dakota. Well, we're decreasing now. But a few weeks ago, we had Colorado. And I hate that term biblical flood. There's no such thing as a biblical flood. It was a planetary heating flood. We get off that term, people. But we talk about T-shirt weather when we're hunting pheasants. The season opens the 15th or the next week in October. And we always brag about, well, that's T-shirt weather in October. We're out there hunting pheasants. You're doing a lot of walking, so you don't want to be overburdened by having a heavy wool shirt on because you're going to sweat. And we always brag about T-shirt weather opening day of pheasants. And this year is the first time ever, and we're both getting a little older, so we've seen a few Octobers. And it is so obvious. And yet you can't, you got these religious nuts. They're crazy. One nice thing about being an Indian, we have only three options on Creator, who Creator is, who what or what it does, et cetera. And we believe that Creator is all truth. Everything it does, I mean real, real truth, not diluted truth, like so much of I've seen. And then the other part is that it's all knowledge. It, not he or she, because we don't know if it's a he or she. And then the other part, the third, is that Creator is a mystery. It's an unknown. Mm-hmm. It's indescribable, yet it is. And yet I won't try to shoot anybody if they don't believe this. You know, we don't go that crazy road.
Thank you.
Those are the three principles that being an Indian, at least a traditional Indian, and one that speaks their language, one that takes part in their ceremonies, one that stands up for the way, the natural way. That's all. When you drop it at that, we will not argue over religion because nobody really knows. But since Creator is a maker, it's obvious what we see, what it does. And just like I said, chemistry, math, physics, and there's other aspects. It's also, you drop a ball, it falls to the center of the earth. You're never going to change gravity. It's the way Creator made it. And you don't run around, nobody, there's no force that's going to change what Ultimate has made. And I think we idiots down here that have decided to overpopulate and not listen and make checks, even after a huge country like China recognizes it, instead we go on and, rapture and resurrection. Jesus will appear in the sky and wave a magic wand. No, it's not going to happen. It will not happen. We're going to suffer. We're going to have drought. And here, we're not even doing anything about drought. We got the Missouri River spilling water into the Mississippi spring runoff every year. And it'll continue even during drought because of the, you know, it's fed by the evaporating water from the ocean. That will always come. But we don't even harness that, and we could. It will cost us the MIC, Military Industrial Complex, but to do so, but like Ike Eisenhower, the last great Republican president we ever had, and is always ignored now, he harnessed the MIC to build the greatest commerce vessel for our country, and that was the interstate highway system. And he warned us about the MIC. We could actually take the MIC waste that we do and dam or pipeline the Missouri River water, spring runoff, into the Ogallala Aquifer and take care of all states all over Texas, and then the Ohio River taking care of the Ohio River Valley. But we won't do it, not until we start suffering severely from agricultural loss. This is too practical for the white folks.
Yes, well, you know, our priorities are really out of whack. I mean, the amount of money that we spend on military defense is just phenomenal. And we're sending so much of that help to Israel and to other countries. And with just a fraction of that, we could change everything for people, for our citizens here in the United States. You know, if they just took a small amount of that money that is going to the military industrial complex and put it into improving things here for our own citizens, what a difference it would make. You know, and just our priorities are just really out of whack. But I think it's because of greed. I think it's because there's so much money in munitions that they want to keep a war going, and they want to keep producing, military complex weapons.
Right.
What do you
think? You and I, we have both seen three major wars, World War II, Korea,
and
Vietnam. And, of course, this fourth one, really. This last Iraq and Afghanistan, we've seen that. We've experienced that because of our age. Mm-hmm. And I have been in the front lines of Korea and Nam, and as a pilot, I saw the tremendous cost when I would go aloft and look down at all the shipping waiting out there to come in. And then going up to Haiphong and seeing all the NATO ally shipping waiting to go in to feed the North Vietnamese. And that was all a big business is what it was. And we weren't allowed to touch the Haiphong docks. And that was all the military and that's the show. We don't have the leadership. Ike Eisenhower was the last leader that stood up the MIC. And you watch the next presidential convention, they hardly ever mention Ike. Instead, they mention those three idiots, the Bushes and Reagan, because they kowtowed to the MIC. We've got to step, we got to control the MIC. In fact, we need a whole damn new government. That's all we're doing.
Well, you know, it's teetering on the edge right now. And, of course, I don't want to see it go down. I love my country. But we have to make some changes. The way it's running right now, it's we're headed for disaster. There's just no other way to put it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell me more about... Your book, you said that the new one is just takes Mother Earth spirituality a little bit farther and explains more about the danger of overpopulation and things like that.
Yeah, it's more pragmatic, more practical. Mother Earth needed to be written because, when you have a million white people reading it and loving it, I sell it every day for about 5 months, and I don't sell anything. I just go play. But I'm very, very fortunate as an author. I get to sell my books at Crazy Horse Mountain Museum. And I have about a million people go by my table every day. And they love talking to me because I'm Indian and I know my stuff pretty well. And they have so many questions about the Sioux and Chief Crazy Horse, Chief Red Cloud, and all that. So I'm quite an asset. I'm going to be bragging, but I'm just telling the fact. I'm quite an asset up there because all the help, the staff, they send the tourists to me. They have many, many questions. And so they just send them right down to my table. And I answer them.
Oh, that's...
And they're curious, good people. And they have a million questions about Indians. So, and I look like an Indian, so that really helps. So anyway, they love... They buy Mother Earth spirituality, and then they buy my Crazy Horse Chief Red Cloud book, which tells all about the Custer Battlefield. And so it's an excellent place for an author. And so I meet people every day, and I like them. But tourists are different. They're adventurous people. They're out there looking. They're not soap opera Sarahs and they're six pack Joes. Mm-hmm. And even the motorcycle crowd, a huge crowd that we get for about 3 weeks straight up there because of the Sturgis motorcycle event. They're very quite highly educated, and expected to have a $20,000 bike and $30,000 bike. And they're very adventurous, and they're very nature conscious. They're extremely nature conscious, and so they buy my environmental books, and they're seeing nature, and they're just a different breed of cat. I wish the world could be like them. Unfortunately, it is not.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are beginning to open up, and they're beginning to wake up and look around and say, wait a minute, what have we let happen? Because, you know, I think a lot of Americans have just been so busy on the treadmill of getting to payday and paying their bills and getting to payday and paying their bills, you know, that they don't pay attention to all the stuff that's going on that the government is doing and that's going on in the world. So they're waking up. That's good.
And they're misled by organized religion. They really are. Organized religion, to me, is just a big money sheet. They're not. Those organized religious leaders cannot do anything near what our medicine men and medicine women can do in the art of healing mentally and physically. And because our medicine people are very, very focused. They're not detoured or distracted by other detouring goals, especially money, control, fear, superiority. Our medicine people are not into that. And so, therefore, the spirit world, as beyond, is much more cohesive with our folk, because they will come into ceremony and actually help us and predict that the white man's so-called ministers, priests, whatever, what have you, just cannot do. They just absolutely cannot do what our... If you read some of my books and some of the ceremonies in there and what happened and the predictions made by the spirits that came in, it's just like a seance person. You don't have to be an Indian to be a real powerful seance person. There are many persons that conduct... I got a darn cold. That conduct seance that are very, very on. There's some fakers that make it bad for the good ones, but there are people. I just went to one that my wife, the deceased wife, came in, told me, you put our picture on the meeting table yesterday. I'm thankful that you did that. And then my mom came in, and my dad came in, and my dad was so changed. I had a good dad, but he was scared of white people, and he never went to my ball games because he said, son, I can't be around a bunch of screaming white people. He said, I feel nervous around him. He was real dark and that, but he was a real good dad. And then my mom, who was an arch Catholic, and she was always at the mission and always running rubby cells and that. And she came in and she says, both of them said, son, I'm glad you're writing those books. We're glad you were a pilot and we're proud of you for that. So I said to my mom, mom, I'm pretty hard on the Catholic Church in my books. She says, oh, them. She said, they're greedy, they lie, and they do bad things to little children. And that would be like the Queen of England saying, hey, if the Queen of England was your mom and came into your seance, she'd say, that's royalty thing, that's just a big ripoff. I just couldn't believe my mom would say that. But she's been in the spirit world, and she's risen to a higher level of knowledge, and I firmly believe in what mom said, that is the problem with the organized religion.
Yes, so, unfortunately, most organized religion became a money-making project. How can I want to say it nicely because I don't want to offend those out there that are, you know, staunch Christians or Buddhists or whatever. I acknowledge all religions. I think at the heart of it is the great mystery of all religions, but, you know, mankind has put names on it and tried to put it in a box and say it's this and this and this, and you can't do that and that and that, you know? So, I think...
Organized religion, if they're sincere, but their leadership, every one of them wraps himself in finery and ermines and bulletproof carts and stuff like that, and they really... ignored what the old Titan real principles of Buddha, Jesus Christ, Moses, all the rest of them emphasized and lived.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which is actually living in a good way and not lying and stealing and cheating and killing. Yes, that's the basis of all religions. And like I said, I believe the great mystery is the great mystery, although mankind has tried to put a name on it and tried to describe it. And it's like, did you ever see that? It was a cartoon that came out a long time ago of this elephant, and there were these little Smurfy-looking cartoon kind of characters, but they were blindfolded. They couldn't see, and they were told to touch this object and tell them what it was. And one of them touched the leg of the elephant, and he said, "Oh, it's a tree. This is a tree trunk." And another one touched the tail, and he said, "Oh, it's a rope." And another one touched the trunk of the elephant, which was moving around, and he said, "No, it's a snake." And, you know, it's so the religions have all touched some part of the Great Spirit and tried to make it that that's what it was, you know?
Yep, go along with 100%.
Yeah. Okay. Well, tell me something, Eagle Man. I have always wanted to know more about some of the famous chiefs, like Chief Red Cloud and Crazy Horse. Would you tell us a little bit more about them?
Okay. The Sioux, we migrated from the east because of the tremendous disease. We saw through it. We knew that we would die also. So we up and left lavish, lush farms in the Carolinas and moved out. And thankfully we did, otherwise we would have had a dreadful trail of tears like the Cherokees did and wound up in Oklahoma. And the Cherokees know very little about their language. They know have known nothing about their spirituality. They become white Indians. And that we would have been the same because of the time span and the geography. Well, fortunately, we have got away and we didn't see the white man for quite a while. And we really only knew the white man for about 100 years. And then, of course, we had horses. We had many horses. And then we wound up, the white man let us have the Winchester and would not let his own army have the white Winchester. And we go back to the MIC, Military Industrial Complex. Springfield Arms made single shots and bought off the War Department. And therefore, you can check in history, the U.S. Army has never had the Winchester. Not even their small arms museum has it because they never had it. And it was a very effective weapon invented way back in 1856. On top of that, we rode Mongolian style, riding with both hands free, called equestrian. And the Army had bitten reins. And just those two factors alone, amongst others, we were able to have an 8-to-1 kill ratio over the Army. So there we have horses, Winchester. And the Army pistol shot the same round as the Winchester. So every time we killed a soldier, remember 8-to-1, we had a whole stack more of ammunition from what they carried on their horses. So we beat them from 1856, and we started fighting them to 1868. Beat them so bad they had to burn the forts down the Bozeman Trail under Chief Red Cloud, who never lost a battle. He's 25 years older than Crazy Horse. And then Red Cloud vowed, he said, "Here, I will not fight anymore, and it's long to keep the treaty from being broken." Well, when they did break the treaty, Red Cloud said, "Even if I fight, they're going to use that as an excuse." So then Crazy Horse took over for at least the Oglalas, and there's 7 of the Lakota nation, and Oglalas, one of them. They and the Sichango fought the most in the southern part. And so then in 1868 to 1876, we had a peace. We got more Winchesters, more horses, and then we started fighting again, and that's when we defeated Custer at the Battle of Bighorn and 2 other battles before that. But then Army was so numerous that they were just too much for us. But we did it. We really did well, but we managed to keep our religion, our ceremonies, and our language, mainly through those Sioux chiefs, Red Cloud, Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull. They're the most prominent and well-known. And so, therefore, my people, half of us, over half of us, are not even Christian. And our young, Martin Luther King came along at the right time. We were banned from having our own ceremonies and having our own religion. missionary lobbied Congress, and Congress unconstitutionally banned it. Well, then they had egg on their face, and they wrote it 100% to electricity just came back on. Let me shut this thing off. And so...
Oh, okay.
Randy set this thing down. So anyway, that was... We got back our ways, and then Martin Luther King, he cemented that by civil rights. We didn't know what civil rights was, but we figured out the blacks couldn't drink from a drinking fountain. They couldn't... You know that whole story about buses.
Oh, yeah, I grew up in the South.
Yeah, good. And so you know that. And
yes.
Thank God that he came along. Well, the spillover for us from MLK was that we got our ceremonies, our religion, and our culture back. And then our boarding schools were closed down, and we got to go to school in little yellow school buses. And little Amy kid got on and was taken back home just like a white kid or a black kid in out there in dominant society. So we have to always thank Martin Luther King. It was very highly instrumental in allowing us to get our culture, et cetera, our pride, everything else, religion back. So that's the story on Crazy Horse and Chief Red Cloud. It's a short story, but it's much more longer, of course, than my book.
Right.
But when
I know. Oh, I was just going to say in Black Elk's book, Black Elk Speaks, he portrayed Crazy Horse as being such a charismatic kind of person that that the warriors wanted to follow him and wanted to be like him.
Well, he was. Red Cloud is overlooked, and everybody, that's just normal because Crazy Horse gets all the fame. Because he's a martyr. Everybody loves a dead Indian. And Red Cloud lived to be 89 years old. And so the authors that came along after white authors really badmouthed Red Cloud because he beat him. And he was not a martyr. But history, in my books, when you read them, you'll see where Red Cloud really probably was. He was going to be 26 years older. Crazy Horse was really young when he got killed.
Yes, he was only in his, mid-20s or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and okay. Abel was also martyr.
Okay. I know you also have a book about the Rainbow Tribe, which you say is ordinary people journeying on the Red Road.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, that's up in Barnes & Noble and Amazon also. The three HarperCollins books are definitely on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes & Noble. The other one is Nature's Way. So if any of your audience are, you know, interested, just go over there and just tell them my last name, McGaugh, M-C-G-A-A, and they'll look it up for you. Anyway,
sure.
The Rainbow Tribe, I went ahead and had a lot of friends that, non-Indian friends, that were very, very interested in our way. So I got to know them real well, and over a period of 10 years or so, they had their own stories of how they got into Nature's Way, or how they got into Celtic Way. Celtic Way is very, very similar to ours. It's nature-based. So they wrote their stories about their first sweat lodge experience or their first time they viewed a Sundance, how much they got out of a vision quest, and their perceptions of nature. And so that is Ordinary People Journeying on the Red Road is the subtitle. So that's basically what Rainbow Tribe is. And if I say Sundance, that's an annual coming together of the people to thank Great Spirit for all that it has allowed them that particular year. And that's what a Sundance is all about. In the old days, the tribe would gather out in the plains, and they would cut down a tree, and they would bring it into an arena and dig a hole, put a buffalo tallow down in the hole, and a peace pipe, the Catlinite part of the peace pipe, and they would tie red, white, black, and yellow flags onto the tree, standing for the four directions, and of course green for Mother Earth and blue for Father Sky. And they would raise the tree, and they would dance around the tree for 4 days, certain men that had pledged to dance for 4 days and four nights without eating and without drinking any water. And what made them do that? Well, in my case, I've done it six times. And I was going to Vietnam, and I wanted to come back to Vietnam back alive because I was married and I had children. And I didn't want my children to be orphaned. So, and I was a Marine F-4 fighter pilot, and you're going to see a lot of combat as a Marine F-4 driver.
Oh, yeah.
Which I volunteered for. I volunteered for that. I could have gone to law school, but I didn't. I would put it off for a year. I had to have my combat tour. So I wanted to come back, and so I said to a great spirit here in the ceremony, Creator, if I can come back alive, I'll dance the Sundance. And that's a pledge. So I'm a pledger. Then the guy that danced next to me in that Sundance, my first one, I said, what made you come here? And he said, my daughter drowned in a river, and I wanted to find her body. My wife really felt bad. No funeral. He said, I said to God, if I could find her body, I will dance the Sundance. And so a spirit came and told him where she's at. And it was just where the river turned, or the Little Moral River. When you see that turn, there'd be a tree that fell over, cottonwood tree, and there's a gate at the, by the bend, the metal gate with a red sign on it. Go there, and there she's underneath that tree. The roots are in the water, and she'll be snagged. Sure enough, she was there. So that pleasure, and then another pleasure, he said, my daughter graduated from college. It took her 6 years, but I'm so happy. I told God, I'm thankful. It's more of a thankful appreciation or can you protect me type of pledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's various reasons why a pledger pledges. But a woman does not have to send us because you give your birth to children so that the people may live. And you experience pain when you have children so that the people may live. Therefore, you are exonerated from any Sundance pledge. But you can go out there and dance beside your husband, boyfriend, or whoever you're sponsoring, and go sit down and underneath the bower of shade and have a Coke or and sit down and rest. Whereas the Sundance is a little bit different. And a man has more respect for a woman because she gives her pain so the people may live when she gives birth to children.
Mm-hmm. So it's also sort of a sacrifice to where you pierce yourself and you suffer and have pain and everything. Mm-hmm. And this is you're showing the great spirit that you that
the holy man pierces. You lay down and they take a pin and stick it in your chest and they pull, and then your skin stretches up and then they push it all through there. That's painful. And then they push a peg through there, and that's painful. And then they bring a rope down from the tree, and they tie the rope and the peg together with a thong. But then it starts getting up.
Okay,
it's not that big a deal.
Okay,
really,
you're cutting out a little bit, Ed. Are you walking around?
No, I'm sitting tight.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, hope we don't lose you.
Yeah, electricity came on. Might have something to do with it.
Oh, the power came back on where you are. So you have some heat now, right? Because it must have been cold there without any power in the house.
Oh no, it is no. It's been on all the time, but just today it starts coming off and on.
Oh, okay.
So I'm okay heat-wise.
Oh, thank heavens for that. Okay. Well, so you did six Sundances. Now, backing up a little bit before that, I know. I read that before you went to Vietnam, there was a special ceremony that was done for you when, what was it, in the lodge? And there was a prophecy or something about how many times you might come close to death and that you would be protected. Tell us about that.
Yeah. That is called a you weepy spirit ceremony, YUWIPI, and spirit calling. We believe that in the beyond world, like a heaven and hell to white people, I guess, some white people, in the beyond world, there are spirits, and that's us. we all go there. And we leave here as a spirit. Only our mind goes, nothing else. Our body doesn't go. And we go in there, our mind goes in there. And according to how you hone it here, it's the same way there. If it's honest and true, then it's the same there. And if it's dishonest and mean, of course, being mean, you won't get very far because you have nothing to reference on, no size, no position, nothing like that. But being truthful we is a reward. Because you're more like God. You're more like Creator. The Creator is all truth. So in the spirit, these spirits are so high known that they come. We don't believe in bad spirits. We don't have no devil. They have no Satan. We just cannot conceive of our Creator allowing such a thing. That's just where we're at. And that was really hard for the missionaries because they tried to push this devil on us, and we balked at that. Anyway, so a spirit comes in, and the spirit finds out what mine was. I was going off to war, and so the spirit, we want to know if you could protect him or have help him. Medicine Man Fusco says that. He says it in Lakota. And the spirit leaves and comes back about 10, 15 minutes later. It must go somewhere where time is frozen. When it comes back, it has answers. And it says, you will see the enemy over 100. No, you'll see the enemy 100 times. And the bullets will bounce from your plane. They are not ultra-specific because I flew 110 missions. And I got hit by a SAM missile, took an engine out, yet I lived. And then also another time, a SAM missile went right by me and never went off. But the other one scorched the intake of my plane, but still not a mark on my plane because the bullets will bounce from your airplane. Well, SAM missile and bullet to the spirit is the same thing. So anyhow, the spirit came in, made that prediction. For that, I should give something back. So for that, I said, if the stone would come in with an emblem on it of an eagle engraved by God, all stones have designs put on them. Everything is made by God. And this specific little stone, the Wotai stone, had an eagle on it. And I was to wear that. But it would only come in if I took a bow. And that's my mom jabbed me, sitting next. She talked way better Indian than me. You stand up and pray for your life. So I did. I blurted out, I'll dance the Sundance. I'll dance the Sundance if the stone remains. At the time, I was kind of halfway Catholic yet because I graduated from St. John's University, and still some of that was still in me. Mm-hmm. But everybody knew how powerful Fool Squirrel was, and you'd only be a fool if you're going to war and turn down his invitation. I wouldn't, no way would I turn it down. My mom either. So anyway, I went ahead and took the vow, and sure enough, everything happened. I flew 110 missions, heavy, heavy combat, close air support, treetop level, practically every mission, getting shot at practically every mission, and nothing happened to me. So I firmly believe the spirit. There is a spirit world beyond, and I firmly believe that's where we all go. And this is a big test here. How honest and how truthful and how much you seek knowledge here makes you more like Creator. Therefore, you'll fit better in to the spirit world. Being a six-pack Joe and a soap opera Sarah isn't going to cut it.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
What now?
So I said that makes sense to me the way you explained that. And I think the Sweat Lodge is such an awesome ceremony. Yeah. Everyone should have the experience of doing of being part of a Sweat Lodge. Although right. I will say the thing that happened in Sedona, Arizona was by a white man trying to do an Indian ceremony. And three people died, and several were hospitalized. Oh, my God, it was just tragic. But if it's done right and done by Native Americans, I believe that it's one of the most awesome ceremonies that you can take part in.
You do not put 60 people in a sweat lodge. The most I ever allow is 15 is about the most I'll ever allow. I always lift the flap up a minimum of four times. You can leave the lodge anytime you want it. Anybody ever connects to Sweat Lodge, and if that person ever says to you, you cannot leave once you go in, never go in. And I've never had any problems of overheating. And I've done probably
well, that and, That and it's crowded. I mean, even with 15 people, you know, there's only so much oxygen in a small, closed-in area like that, you know?
They were all stupid. They were all ignorant, and he was greedy. And he just got out of jail, and they should have him in there much longer than that.
Really? He's out now?
He's out.
I thought he was in for years and years. I didn't know he'd been released.
But I've heard from about three different people that said that he's out.
Mm.
I forget his name.
Yeah, I'm not even going to mention it. He was on the movie The Secret. He was considered a really great spiritual teacher. You know, but my goodness, he had those people there for a week. He charged them $9,000 for that week. And the final ceremony was the Sweat Lodge, which was going to cap off their week of fabulous teachings that he had given them. And turned into such a disaster. But it's too bad when people don't understand what they're doing and try to do something that they don't know what they're doing, you know?
I have conducted about 300 sweat lodges. I have never charged. And also, I do not charge honorariums. You notice that when I come on, you first talked to me about this show, I never asked for any honorarium. I never do. Mm-hmm. I'm I go to England, I go to various places, never charge an honorarium, because God takes care of me. And that's your first, our medicine men, although I do say, if you do visit a medicine man or medicine woman, do give them some monetary, because they barely get by. A lot of medicine men don't even have a phone. You have to call the police department. And the police department will listen to your talk, and then they will go get them, and then they'll bring them to the phone.
Well, I understand that, but I believe that too, that we're not supposed to charge for our spirituality that was given to us by this great spirit. And I do some healing work, you know, it's a donation. It's whatever people want to give me. And it might be a bag of tobacco, or it might be
If you go to a seance person, give them some monetary gain, for God's sake. And I sell my books, so these don't give me anything, you know, because God's taking care of me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to sell my books. You're damn right I am. Every white author I know sells theirs, and Indian author does too. Yeah,
Of course, damn we can so. Sell our teachings, you know, if we, but the actual spiritual help. That we do, we give that out of our heart, you know, because the power is not us. The power is coming through us.
Yep. So I don't feel guilty at all, one bit. And these other guys, they make millions. And I forget the Osteen, that Joel Osteen or some darn thing like that. He's down in Florida. He makes millions. You know, all he does is promise you that Jesus will make you rich. That's not religious.
Yeah, well, he has quite a following. You know, he's a television evangelist, and so he's built quite a following. And you know, people are at different levels of understanding, Ed. Some people, that's the only level that they're at to be able to grasp some kind of spiritual teaching. You know, and so there's different levels. But more and more people are rising in their awakening and beginning to appreciate Mother Earth again. And I think that's where we have to go. I mean, if we don't get back to nature, we are going to lose the Earth.
Exactly.
What do you think? Yes, tell me about that. I know this is your favorite subject, too.
We covered that earlier. If the people we have in Congress now in positions of the CEOs and on positions up where they can bring change to the world. Not negative change, but positive change. They are at the helm, and they are utilizing religion to salve the minds and salve their own actions and to opiate the minds of the people. When you look at the Tea Party, those people are so far gone that they will not even miss what is actually happening to the Earth right now. And so we need
it's kind of frightening. Yeah,
it's real.
When I hear these people that claim to be educated people, and they honestly want to argue and say, well, what's happening with the weather is just normal. We haven't done anything to cause that. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, how can you say that?
They're flaunting Mother Nature. They're flaunting Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. They're flaunting the Creator. And they're flaunting the Creator when they say there's a devil, there's a Satan. There's no damn book for such a thing. And our Creator, our benevolent Creator, would never allow such an entity because it is all powerful. Why in the hell would it allow something that can go through walls and do things against the laws of physics? It just doesn't make sense.
Absolutely. Well, we know that the Great Spirit that moves through all things is sending blessings, that loves its creation. Are you still there, Ed? I'm hearing sounds like you're cutting out.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. Yes, I believe that, as I was saying, the Great Spirit that moves in all things is a benevolent spirit that created everything and, of course, loves all its creation. It's not going to turn and become this monster that wants to punish you and say you're evil, you know?
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So what are your plans now in the future? Are you going to write another book?
Well, I got my biography, and it's done, but I went on a shark trip and went down in a cage, and now I thought it was all done. It was such an exciting event. My three sons and nine, they almost got killed. The shark came up and cut their line, and they were down 30 feet. They managed to get through that. Yeah, it is really
wow. Nice. You are brave to go in a shark cage.
And we had it on a movie. Great big 16-foot shark came up slowly, right up. They're down 30 feet, so right up towards the top of the water. Of course, their lines are in the water and down feeding them down to the tank below.
Okay.
And cage, and then it just slipped the lines.
And you survived it.
Actually, bubbles all over.
Thank heavens.
And so there are oxygen tanks down in the corners of these cages. Well, they just didn't automatically grab one. They had to feel around and find them and swallow water or scare the heck out of them.
Okay.
And all this is on the movie. And they did nothing with planned. They just the cage next door had a movie camera. So
it's
up on my email is eagleman4@AOL.com. Yeah, you got it. And Mark McGaw, yahoo.com, Mark McGaw at Yahoo. And anyhow, he's got the movie.
Okay.
So go ahead and send it to get a hold of him, and you'll see it scare the heck out of you. Well, the next day.
Wow.
And I'm
down running out of time.
Ed, what's that?
Hello. I'm so sorry to cut you off, but we are running out of time.
Yeah, I thought
we were. And we have to say goodbye and get off the air.
Okay,
so thank you so much for joining me today. Yeah. And we'll be in touch in the future, and bless you in all that you're doing.
Okay.
Glad
to be on. Thank you.
Okay. And for my listeners, thank you for joining. Until next time, may the sun kiss your face, may the waters bless your body, and may all nature sing in your presence.